Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. The new documentary, What Haunts Us, looks at the 1979 graduating class of the prestigious Porter Gaud School in Charleston, South Carolina. 49 boys graduated that year. Within 35 years, 6 committed suicide. An horrific nightmare happened at this seemingly perfect high school that no one wants to talk about to this day. When Paige Goldberg-Tolmack, a proud Porter Gaud alum, hears that another former student has killed himself, she decides to look into the past and uncovers the truth about a beloved teacher who molested many of his students for years. How could this happen in plain view? The result, the award-winning film, What Haunts Us, directed and produced by Paige in theaters May 11th and airing on Stars May 14th. For Paige, advocacy, nothing new. When her son Jackson developed a severe case of eczema soon after his birth, she began looking for environmental causes after failing to find relief or answers in traditional treatments. Ridding her home of environmental toxins, she cured her son. Determined to help others, she founded the Little Seed in 2007. That's a one-stop eco-conscious store in Los Angeles that helped raise awareness about the dangers of toxic chemicals in homes. And now a first-time filmmaker shining a light on a sexual predator at one of the nation's most prestigious schools in the award-winning film What Haunts Us, Paige Goldberg-Tolmack with us on This Week in America. Hi, Paige. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
It is our pleasure. This is such an important film that you've done. And I talked about how this sort of started when you heard about the death of another student. Why did you feel at that time it was really important for you to find out what really happened?
Well, you know, it was interesting. We all knew. We all sort of knew what had happened at our school.
Yes.
You know, we all grew up in... We were in the 80s in Charleston, South Carolina, at Porter Gaud, which was a school. I loved my school. And here was this charismatic and dynamic teacher, Eddie Fisher, who I really liked. And then I left. I graduated and moved on and grew up. And years later, after I graduated, a kid from my school, Gary Glover, who's in my film, came out and said, Eddie Fisher molested me from ages 9 to 19. The school knew about it, and they covered it up. Eddie Fisher, the school was sued. Eddie Fisher went to prison. So my group knew about it. I remember us sort of talking about it a little bit, but we didn't want to talk about it too much because, you know, it's uncomfortable. It's icky. No one really likes talking about this stuff. So we didn't. And then in 2006, I became a mom, and the world became a really, really different place.
Everything changes.
I mean, you see the world really differently. And I remember thinking, you know, here I am, like you told the story about me starting the Little Seed and starting an eco-conscious store and all that stuff. And I started thinking, well, I certainly know, like, the right car seat to use, and I know the safe baby bottles to use and the right mattresses to buy and the parenting classes to go to. But I didn't know how to protect my child from a predator. Here I was really in charge of someone now. And I didn't know because I didn't learn anything from Porter Gaud. We never talked about it. So I thought, my goodness, I need to kind of take a deep dive into my past and understand how it was allowed to happen in order to protect my child in the present.
I understand.
And
during that period,
devastating.
Yeah, you're watching television and you see Jerry Sandusky, and that's 2012, and that sort of hits you too because that's the classic case of I sort of knew what was going on. Maybe I should have said something and I didn't. Sure. And if you don't, then it keeps going. And that was obviously the case with Sandusky as well.
Oh, and Sandusky, by the way, I mean, I remember that moment clear as day. I saw his picture on the news, and he looked a lot like Eddie Fisher to me. And I was like, oh, this happens a lot. Like, this can happen in any city, in any school, any time. You know, it's not just an isolated incident that happened in Charleston, South Carolina in the 80s. I mean, we need to be vigilant. We need to be aware. And so that gave me just motivation to continue understanding the story and decided to make a film about it.
When you look at Eddie Fisher, he was described as charismatic. He looked like a movie star. He was the cool teacher. He wasn't a creepy looking guy that maybe you had some suspicions. And he went about it sort of the textbook way, when he actually groomed. He got to be family member, friends of family members, so he could get close to the children.
Absolutely. Of course. I mean, it's the same story everywhere.
Yes.
He charming man. I remember him so well. I liked him. He was fun. if you were a kid who hung out with Eddie Fisher, you were one of the cool kids. I mean, everybody kind of snowed.
You know, there's a quote in the film where someone says, you know, once he knew the administration had his back, it was open field running. He obviously felt that he could get away with this. And then the obvious question is, why did the school administration allow this? They certainly were aware of the rumors as well.
I mean, that's the question, isn't it? I mean, it's an amazing line that David Flowers, one of the attorneys for Gary Glover, says, open field running. I mean, the second he had the con, he knew that he wasn't going to get in trouble for what he did. I mean, people were going to the school and saying this was happening, and they just turned the other way. I mean, they decided, you know, to let it roll. I think they were, I can't imagine that, but it did happen. And I think it's a case where the institution was valued over the individual. So, you know, the notion that a couple of kids were hurt didn't really matter to anybody. But look what happened.
We're talking about the new film, What Haunts Us, a Paige Goldberg-Tolmach film, producer, director. She's with us on This Week in America. The movie is available on Starz May 14th, theaters on May 11th. You can find all the information at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. When you started this process, when you decided, I'm going to pull back the curtain and I really want to find out how this was allowed to continue, did you have any idea where this journey was going to take you?
No, not at all. I mean, that was kind of the extraordinary part. I mean, I started looking into it, and I thought, all these crazy things that happened that I didn't know about, and, well, my classmates really deserve to know the truth, and I want to tell the story. And one of the first things I did was I went to the school, and I said, listen, I'm going to make this film. I want you to be in it with me. Let's do it together. Let's show the world that this, we embrace our past, and that's why it's not going to happen again, and this is how you protect kids. I mean, I really had, this is what I thought the movie was going to be about. And I remember coming back to Los Angeles and getting a call from the attorneys, the head of the board, and saying, thanks, but no thanks, I'm not going to be in your movie. And I remember that moment really clearly because I hung up the phone, I started crying, I was like, oh my God, they don't want to be in the movie, like how could they not do this, and now I don't have a movie, like what's the movie about, I don't know what to do. And for about a week or so, I walked around like, oh, my movie's over, I don't have a movie, I don't understand. Wow, why don't I get to tell the story? And then all of a sudden, it dawned on me, and I was like, "Oh, that's the movie." Silence became a character in my film because Portergat still didn't want to talk about it, and that's what I needed to highlight.
Well, silence was so much of the story. Is it still a big part of the story, even with all of this publicity and the movie coming out? And a few months ago, you did the festival circuit where the movie was reviewed very favorably and watched by many people. Is silence still a problem, or in Charleston, are people beginning to realize we can't let this happen again?
Oh, I think people definitely don't want this to happen again. And I think, people are motivated. People are grateful about this film. I think it's helped to sort of start to release the ghost that is, like we say in the film, it's haunted us, for all of us, for so long. But I do think that there's a tremendous amount of silence everywhere. I mean, look at the world right now. Look what's happening in our world right now. I mean, the notion that silence is complicity is something that we really need to understand. And I want to be someone who stands up for others. I'm raising a son, a good son, to be a great man, hopefully, who also stands up for himself and stands up for others. I mean, I want to role model that for him, and I want people to feel, to understand that that's the way we take care of each other in this world. I mean, that's what I've discovered, and hopefully the film will help do that.
We learn about silence. I mentioned the bystanders, the fact that you go back in your mind and you're thinking, I should have said something. We see something else in the film that often happens with predators. They're shuffled from one place to another without anybody addressing the problem head on. Eddie was allowed to resign and went to another school.
Yep. He was not fired. When Portergat just couldn't keep him anymore, they had heard about it. They knew what was going on, but they turned away from that. But it came a point where they just couldn't ignore it anymore. And so they decided to pass him on. It's called passing the trash. It's a common practice. They decided to pass him on to another school with glowing recommendations. They allowed him to resign. They didn't fire him. They didn't put it in his report. They gave him glowing recommendations. So he went on to molest more boys.
Did he? You know, it's interesting because he has a quote, But here they are with wives and all now. They have to make me look like a villain, and they look like the little saint. Just taking that out of context, it appears he's blaming the victim. Did he ever own up to the magnitude of what he had done?
No, I don't think he was capable of really understanding it. And, you know, there's a really interesting thing that Gary Glover says in the film, which is just always rocks me when I think about it. He said, you know, to this very day, I will always believe that what Porter Gow did was so much worse than what Eddie Fisher did. Eddie Fisher was sick, but Porter Gow knew better. And they could have stopped it, but they chose not to. And that was devastating. That was devastating to my school, my friends, my town. You know, it's a sad, sad, sad cautionary tale.
What toll did this take on you emotionally? This took, I understand, about 5 years for you to earn the trust, which had to be a whole experience, you know, unto itself, going in and trying to get the trust of everybody. But in putting this film together, and it's not just you're detached, you're coming in from Hollywood and you're making this movie, this great story that you've heard about, this powerful story that you heard about, you were part of the community. What was the emotional toll this took on you?
Oh, it's super heavy. You know, I kept saying that the whole time. Like, what was I thinking? This is my first film. I need to make such a personal
yes.
story. Like, that was really stupid of me. You know, I wasn't like a filmmaker for hire. This is a personal story that I wanted to tell. So, yes, it was really hard for me. It was heartbreaking for me. Every time I interviewed a man or would look at vintage tape of these young men, you know, I saw my son's face. And I'm a mom. I cared about them. I wanted to embrace them all. I spent many, many, many hours crying, and thank God for my husband, who, like, at one point, literally, like, that picked me up off the floor, and I remember he said to me one day, he said, listen, this is making you really sad. You are absorbing the sadness. And he goes, and I get it. I totally understand that. He goes, but you have to remember you're someone's mom right now, so you have to try really hard to leave it at the door. You have to come home and leave it at the door. And he goes, and you got to figure out how you're going to do it. He goes, I'm here for you. But you have to be aware of what's going on. And he was right, man. I mean, thank goodness that he was able to say that to me. And he helped me survive it. He really, really did.
There was a point where, as you're talking with people, you're getting some stories, and you had realized you had even suppressed some memories of this through high school.
Yeah, of course. There were so many things I didn't remember. And I started, you know, as I started going into the past, these things started to, you know, come out for me. And that was just so shocking. And I think that was sort of my whole life. I must have felt that in me for so many years. It must have always wanted to come out. And you know, feeling like I had never done the right thing, I felt like maybe now making this movie, maybe this is my chance to do the right thing now.
Couple minutes left. We're talking with Paige Goldberg-Tolmach, talking about her movie, What Haunts Us. You said one of the positive things that came out of this, besides getting the message out there and hopefully allowing this never to happen again, the people, the heroes, and the heroes we meet in the film are students.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
It took them. The grown-ups didn't do anything. It took people like Gary Glover and Carlos Salinas and my friend Mackie Krawczyk. I mean, these are the people who had to. These are the people who had to stand up and make it stop and save lives. They saved lives because of this. I mean, they are the true heroes of this, and it's really a shame. It's a shame that it took them.
You said at an early age you were really impressed as you're watching Roots, and this really made you think, someday I would like to be a filmmaker. Someday I want to tell powerful stories that might people might be afraid to see, but will help change the world. Did you ever think that you actually would be doing that with such a powerful message?
God, no. Isn't that crazy? I mean, I remember watching it, you know, watching it by myself as a young girl and being so moved by Roots, just being so, I mean, sobbing in front of the television the way I did when I was, you know, making my movie. So again, this must have been, you know, born in me so long ago, and just was waiting for the right story. I had no idea that it would be such a personal tale.
You said you wanted the film to start the conversation. Got about 30 seconds left. It has started the conversation nationally. Has it started the conversation, do you feel, in Charleston?
Oh, yes. When we took my film back to Charleston, and which is a really important thing for me to do, I wanted to make sure Charleston saw it before the rest of the world got to see it. We had a powerful 400-person screening, and people were just in tears and so grateful. And I've been getting endless messages from people saying, thank you. You've helped us start to release the ghost.
What we're talking about is the new film, What Haunts Us, and an award-winning film, a Paige Goldberg Tolmach film. She's our guest on the program, producer, director, in theaters May 11th, airing on Stars on May 14th. Paige, thank you so much for being with us on the program. Such a powerful, powerful film. Thank you for sharing all the details with us. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me and shining a light on this really important issue.
Our pleasure. You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.